Okay, let's go. We're up to Simon. We are in the middle of Simon Lamed Aleph. Let us begin with the Shi'arim Mitzvah Halacha Ois Ches. Okay, now the case he's discussed here might be a little bit outdated, but let's at least learn this to get a little appreciation of what he's referring to. We learned within the Halacha that it's a very big milah to. I wouldn't translate the word koyfe to force. That's not a very good word today. Pressure. To persuade. To persuade a person to give tzedakah, that is even a greater mitzvah. It's even a greater mitzvah than actually giving tzedakah. How much can a person himself give? You can give what you can give, but in order to convince someone who has the means to give a large donation to give, that's an incredible feat. And that, it says here in Kitzur, is even a greater mitzvah than giving tzedakah yourself. You interchange the hay with the gimel. That if you can't give tzedakah from your own wealth, your hoin, your wealth, you can give tzedakah from your goroin, your throat. Using your throat to persuade people to give tzedakah. It says here, "Akoyf achem shidul tzedakah ayin b'shal shuvus atzel vonim bi'ir she'asu takonish shakol ish midayori ha'ir she'loikeach basar v'kemach l'machol le'anshe beisam mechuyiv mikol mishkol kach v'kach v'kach Litein mishkal kach v'kach letzorchei aniim v'hem nisoy dover ze al anoshim, and they enforce this matter on the women as well. In other words, you go to the store, when you go shopping, so when you come to the, well, today they if they would make a takana today, it would be very simple. They would just charge your credit card. When you come, you swipe the credit card, there's a tax. Taxes, whatever you're paying for your groceries, 5%, 10% of whatever you're paying is going to go automatically take from your credit card for a tzedakah fund. Okay, but in the ancient times it wasn't like that. What did they do? I bought a pound of meat. Go to the butcher, you buy a pound of meat. Oh, very nice. You bought a pound of meat. That means a tenth of a pound we're going to slice off from the piece of meat that you bought. We're going to take a slice of that meat, a teeny slice, and we're going to put it aside for the anim. So then we'll have slices, little pieces of meat. Oh, you bought some flour? So when you check out, very nice. You want some flour? We're going to take over here, a quarter of a pound of flour we're going to take for the anim. And every single commodity, every single type of food that you bought, every single item, grocery item that you bought, there was a tax. On the way out, you would have to give away some of what you have in your shopping bag to the poor people. And this was, who was the main people who went shopping? Women. So this tax was enforced upon women. So the shiloh was, do you have a right to do that? Do you have a right to go enforce, to do this, especially when they're not the ones earning the money? The ones that are really paying for this in ancient times were, the breadwinners were the husbands, not the wives. So you're forcing the women to depart with their husband's hard-earned money. What is the halacha? So this is shiloh. Then today, it's not really relevant, this type of shiloh. There are other more modern, other shilohs that are complex, but in this one, I don't think you're going to find today. Yeah.
What about the collecting the tax b'chlal?
Okay, that's all part of the question. Let's see what he says. So what do you do in this situation? So the question over here is, they made this takon al anashim shem boyim liknos basa mitabach v'kemach mechanus v'nishal sham I hanashim yicholos litin gam im baleim moichim bohem. Let's say the husbands say, don't you dare, I know you're going to the butcher, I know they charge this tax, do not dare. The woman comes to the butcher, she has a very pleasant relationship with the butcher, they chat, and then they say, okay, give us the tax. I'm sorry, I can't give you the tax. My husband, she doesn't want to do that. She wants to give the tax. She wants to give the tax against the protest of her husband. Since this was a communal enactment, she's mechuyev to do what the gaboyim, the community leaders, the kehila, and her husband has no right to go against. And that's it. Upaskinan biyordeya sheyordil nechasa v'goyvin ulechein rasha. Even the court bezin has the power to come into your home and take away your money to pay off the chayvos. Ulechein rasha isha limsar trumasa shalecha lite mikol kamos kemach basar v'hiyisa shtuchas bezin. Therefore, she can give the tax, even though her husband told her not to do so, and she has done nothing wrong. Ayin sham. Tanina. The second volume. Shemash masham midvarav. The alkoponim boy yidias abal avshein maskim uvlo yidias havi gezel. So what he seems to be saying is, no, it's nothing has changed. You can force her and the husband to give, but you have to let them know. Bezdin has the power to force people to pay taxes. It still must be done with their knowledge. You can't go into their bank accounts. The Bezdin can't have power from the government. We're the community, we're about, we have the right to go into everyone's bank account and just take away the money. And they won't even know, they don't know how much money they have in their savings account, they don't know what's going on, we're just going to do it. It's the Kanes Bezdin, they're poor people. We have to do this. That you're not allowed to do. You're allowed to force them to give, but you have to at least inform them of what is taking place. That's a very interesting concept, but we learn over here, at least from this Indian, that there is such a takana, that Bezdin has such a koyach to force people to give tzedakah and impose various types of taxes. Halacha test. Next halacha. Achazok bo ad shelo, hachazek bo ad shelo yipo. The greatest form of tzedakah is to give someone a job, to give a person the means to support himself. That's not derived from the Rambam. There are many rivets. Sheim ba ani v'amal lekoy v'shinti loy kidei damai v'imlo yitin lo yim gratz mel yakum v'yaz al karcham tifdu oisa. He gives an ultimatum. I want money. I'm desperate. Give me $100,000. If they say, you out of your mind, I'm going to give you $100,000. No way. If you don't give me $100,000, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to commit a crime, and then you'll have to bail me out for $100,000. You don't. Exactly. That's what he says. But I know you will. I know you're so kind-hearted. You're not going to let me sit in the slammer overnight. I know you. I know my relatives. You're not mechuyif too. You know my. But I know you're a multimillionaire. You have the money, and you're not gonna. It's not gonna go off well in the family to let me sit in jail overnight. And you're gonna put away. You're gonna give bail money. So you know what? Instead of give the money to the city, give me the money, and I won't commit the crime. I'm threatening you. How do you deal with such a threat? So the answer is, let him go to jail. You can't go threaten a person. You have no right to threaten a person like that. So since anyway you're going to have to redeem me, so you might as well give me the money right now. It's a nonsense. We don't negotiate with terrorists. Okay? That's the aside. The United States does not negotiate with terrorists. In public. But behind closed doors, we'll give you billions of dollars. Just don't bother us. Okay, ain is cocking love, ain leetain loyakshav klum shnema achre nimkai. The pastic says, achre nimkar gula tihiyala. Sell yourself. Go right ahead. After you sell yourself, then we'll deal with it. Maybe not. Here's a maishahaya. An oni came to the gabai. He only got a check, $100. That was the gabai gave him. I want $1,000. I have a big family. If you don't give me $1,000, I'm taking a job where I'm going to work on Shabbos. And that will make the money. I'm threatening you. So what's the halacha? Same thing. You're not mechuyif. Even the person says, I'm doing aveira, you're not mechuyif to negotiate with the terrorists. You're not mechuyif. Too bad. So go hire yourself out. Give me Shabbos. Not up exactly. The gabbai does not have money. It's not fair to give him more than he deserves. He's not mechuyif to do so. Hanal, from the case we just discussed before, the case before is not exactly the same. That was the case where the person is going to sell himself to a guy. Here it's a case where a person is going to do an avera. There's no difference between doing an avera and being sold to a guy. The rules are the same. Because he's just playing games, one thing leads to another. Uvishiyurei bracha shamhevi oyin another sefer. He brings Oirayim, his sefer Hasidim. The tzaddik v'rasha b'om little tztaka. Here's a new story. A tzaddik and a rasha come to take tztaka. There's only enough money to give one person. The wicked man once says, so who do you give the money? You give it to the tzaddik. You don't give it to the mummer. Well, you only have enough money to give one. You give to the tzaddik. You don't give to the rasha. The rasha oimer shim lo yitin lo yishtaneid o yasaver acheres yitin lad. Same idea. So the rasha says, if you're not going to give me the money, I'm going to do bigger averes. I'm going to go over and who knows. Then you give it to the tzaddik. Doesn't matter. Don't feel threatened. Yitin lo tzaddik. The rasha yichle gehenim. Too bad for the rasha. Let him go to gehenim. It's not your problem. Not your problem. However, he does say one exception.
He threatens to kill someone.
In other words, we do negotiate with terrorists. That's really what he does say. We do negotiate. The Imarosha Megazim Laharig Leachad. He threatens to murder someone if you don't give me the money. Already, that's already a different level. That's already a different level of terror. Oz Yitin Lo. Then, excuse me. Then we do indeed give him. We don't want to be responsible for someone's death. Obviously, every case.
That the Russian does not read Russian code.
Doesn't see what it says here.
They all read it. They all read it.
Yud.
What makes you think they have?
It says here the kids that you should give first. Who comes first? A Talmud Chacham. Talmidei Chacham who are aniim come before other people. Ayn Berke Yosef Shehelo Duhua Din Bal Maisim Shemufursim B'Maisav Atoyvim Dinei Kemo Talmud Chacham. That just like a Talmud Chacham who is an ani comes before a person who is not a Talmud Chacham, likewise a person who has Maisim Toyvim good deeds, he's well known, he's Mufursim to have done, to do exceptionally good deeds. Good chasodim,
levak yecholet. This one only, if a Russia comes and threatens I'm going to kill somebody, but he's not an ani.
You can't generalize, I don't know. Every case is different.
Let's say
just kidding, I don't know. Every case is different,
not,
I don't know.
We're only talking about ani in
this whole thing. The Russia is an ani. So he's saying the Rosh is an Ashir. So Stami's a Meshuggah.
If he drives up in his Cadillac, it comes in and says, listen, I need a donation. You don't give me, I'll kill you. You tell him, go ahead. I'm not afraid to give you anything.
I'll kill you. So what are you going to do when he says, I'll kill you?
So what?
I don't know the answer. Every situation. Call the police.
If there's a fee of giving to doctor, so there's a question, who do you
I don't know. Right, okay. I don't. Obviously, today it's very different. Today, it's very hard to extrapolate what would be the rules from ancient times to today. Today, there's a whole different system in place, law and order, for better or for worse. You can't really extrapolate what it said there before. Ayin b'shas, now we'll go further over here. Dam chochem k'tzas. If a person is known for his exceptionally good deeds, does he have more kid and he's poor? Does he have kedima over another person? The answer is yes, provided it's a little bit of a Talmud Chacham. If he's completely ignorant, then he has the same status as anyone else. That between the two, a Talmud Chacham always comes first. Just because the person Talmud Chacham is only called Talmud Chacham, he's also Yoreh Shemayim, just because he knows a lot, doesn't mean anything. He needs Mechal Shabbos, so he does Averos. Or Bechlal Oysa Maisa Amcha, he must be Bechlal Oysa Maisa Amcha, the im who shino perish gara mikulam. If he went off the derech, a Talmud Chacham went off the derech, and it's worse than him because he knows better, and he's in trouble. Okay, next halacha, the ayin b'shal shuvus meishav davar then it's siv. The mishabal yodei Talmud Chacham lekabel tzlak v'hu miyeshei chutz liaretz v'gam ish pashut ben eretz yisrael. Who comes first? So we learned before in the kitzur that the aniye eretz yisrael have kedima. Okay, aniye who come first. You come first. Your family comes first. Your relatives come first. Ani Yircha. Let's say all of your relatives and all of the people in your city have been taken care of. Now you have a choice of giving a donation between, let's say, some Chutz Liaretz or people living in Eretz, not in your city, living somewhere far away, or living in Eretz Yisrael. So that's Pashat. Ani Eretz Yisrael come before Aniim of Chutz Liaretz. Let's say the Aniim Chutz Liaretz are Talmidei Chachamim. and the Anim of Eretz Yisrael are not Talmidei Chachamim. Does the rule Aniyei Eretz Yisrael still apply? So he says in Ma'isa, V'hush V'yesh Chutz Yoretz V'hu Yish V'gam V'hu Yish Pashat Be'er Yisrael Mik Koidem Tam V'hu B'shochan Arach V'yesh Yed Yisrael Koidem V'yesh Chutz Yoretz Hel Hashem Dea Talmid Chacham Koidem Lakol. The rule does not apply. Aniyei Eretz Yisrael come before Aniyei Chutz Yoretz only where they're equal. Everything is equal. But when the Aniyei Eretz and the Chutz Yoretz are Talmidei Chachamim, then they come before the Aniyei Eretz Yisrael. We take from this how chashuv it is to support, to give tzedakah to Talmidei Chacham. That is the Ikar Shebi Ikar. Yud Aleph. Asay Shabbat Chachov Yalat Tzedakah. Because a person should never allow himself to take tzedakah, and it's better to make his Shabbos into chol than accept tzedakah. I'm going to Avram. We're to Rizav. Shabbat Haynu Beim Yesh Loi Lachol Yoy Mozen Shtei Sudos Loyito Mitzedakah V'Chavnasam Yakuba Shneschalekes B'Chol Shavua. That if you have enough food for your daily meals, don't take extra money. Avol Stam Tzedakah Mutl Likach. So as the food that's being distributed, food that's being distributed, do not take if you have food for Shabbos. But Mamon. But let's say they're not giving food, they're giving out money, then this goes over the basic idea. I don't know, just going over the basic yisodos, is that it all depends on the situation. Now before we can go on to the laws of Chal, let me just include some closing thoughts about tzedakah and tzedakah and ma'aser k'safim. First of all, this week's parish is all about ma'aser k'safim. Yaakov Avinu makes a neder. So this week indeed we come in contact with one of the main mukaris for the halacha of Ma'aser K'safim. We had it by Malki Tzedek. Malki Tzedek, after Malki Tzedek meets Avram, he gives him Ma'aser Mikol. That's one mukar, but we also have a mukar here. We have a mukar in this week's parasha of Yaakov Avinu, Aser Asrenu Loch. Now, in fact, it says it twice. It says Aser Asrenu, which Chazal Darshan, but we learned that ideally you should give a fifth. A fifth is when you give 10% twice. 10% plus 10% equals 20%, and that's the mukar. So it says, doesn't say in the pasuk, I'm going to give a fifth, it's going to give Aser Asrenu, but it says it twice, and then a poetic expression which tells us that l'chatchila, a person should give a fifth of his profits towards tzedakah, no, the profits, the revach. The keren you give Ma'aser once, and the keren you never give tzedakah again, and the profits you earn from that keren over time, every year you give 10%, ideally you give 20%. Now, here's a big shaila in Shulchan Aruch Yerdeya, very big issue. What exactly is the law of Ma'aser K'safim? Is it one of the Tayag Mitzvos? Is it a mitzvah? Is Daraisa? Is it a Takana Derabanan? Or is it nothing more than a minog to give 10%? Giving tzedakah is a mitzvah Daraisa. That's no question about it. It's a mitzvah Daraisa. But how much tzedakah? I give a pruta. I give a nickel. Maybe even a penny. Put a penny in the pushka. Maybe that's also stuck. Maybe today you need to give more than a penny. Maybe you need to give a nickel. Maybe you need to give a dime. I don't know. Whatever you have to give, you have to give. That's tzedakah. But this concept of giving 10% of profits, of your profits, is that a din part of the din deraisa of tzedakah? Or is it, no, it's not a deraisa, it's a takana derabanan. Or maybe it's not even a takana derabanan, it's nothing more than Jewish custom, a minok. And the nafka minas are, and the big nafkaminas are, when it comes to all the different complicated challenges, is not hazeh, when parents are paying for tuition for their children, and anytime you have a shayla, you have a shayla of can you use the money to do for mitzvos, or to give to certain types of tzedakos, which Dinah really needed tzedakah, to give to count your donations to your membership dues to a shul, and things like that. When you get into these shaylas, so there are always many different opinions. Where do you lean? Do you lean being machmer or do you lean being makel? It all starts with the most fundamental question. Is it a mitzvah? Ma'aser K'safim, is it deraisa? Is it rabbanon? Or is it minuk? If Ma'aser K'safim is deraisa, you're in trouble. Then it's not so simple you can deduct tuition as part of your Ma'aser K'safim. If it's nothing more than a minhag, Jewish custom, then there's definitely, I'm paying tuition, I'm paying tuition. I'm not really mechuyev to. I'm not mechuyev to support my children after they're 6 years old. And so what I'm doing now is really above and beyond what I'm mechuyev to do. So therefore, I will count the tuition as my ma'aser money. Yeah.
I remember a number of years ago, Kollel sent out a sheet on ma'aser itself, and sort of a worksheet in the form of a 1040, saying with sources, well, what's deductible and what isn't, and what would come out of the
very cute. Very cute. So there are many opinions. It's all brought down in Shulchan Aruch and in the Taz, in the Shach and the Taz, and all the Farshim. Everyone takes sides. There are major opinions in each category. D'oraisa, D'rabbanan, Minog, and that will all have very big nachmina. That's another important issue. When a person does give Maaser Kesafim the first time, or even is that automatically a neder? Which once you do it once, you must keep on doing it. You're not allowed to stop. The year comes to an end, and you look at your balance sheet, and you're very pleased, and you say, "Okay, I'm now going to give my sirksafim. I'm going to be machmir. I paid my taxes, paid my tuition, I paid all of the things which possibly can go towards my sirksafim." But I'm not going to use that for my sixth. Now I'm going to take all the leftover profit and I'm going to give 10%. Now it's next year. It's a year later. Well, let's say you do this 2 years in a row. You do this 2 years in a row. You do this 3 years in a row. And then it's 4 years later and you know you're tight. The profits are not the same. Expenses have gone up. You're tight. You don't want to give 10%. You want to make use of different leniencies that you did not make use of in the previous years. This year, I want to the money that last year I did not consider to be part of the calculation for my Maya Saksafim, I want this year to be lenient. Can you be lenient? It's a very big shiloh. Because once you give Maya Saksafim, even some learn even once, from a certain, you get yourself in a certain routine of how you deal with your money annually, it could be in the category of a neder, a vow. So that is why all of the poskim strongly advise that when your financial status changes, when a person really gets serious now, he deals with his income, and you start giving money, you give a significant amount, and you give your machmir, you should make a clear tnai. This should not constitute a vow. I'm giving this now as my sixofim, but I'm not bound. I don't want to have to go be mataneder later because that's not such a good thing to be mataneder for a mitzvah. One thing when it comes to mataneder, I'm on a diet. I'm never going to eat a cheese Danish the rest of my life. And you do this for years. And all of a sudden, I want to be mavato. So you gotta go to Matan Eder. Had I known this so good, I never would have made this neder. I never would have accustomed myself to this practice of doing so. So that's no big deal. It's a big deal. It's not such a good thing to be Matan Neder. But the world doesn't come to an end because not eating a cheese Danish is not a mitzvah. But when it comes to be Matan Neder on a mitzvah, it's not a good thing. When you do a mitzvah, you are in the custom of doing a mitzvah. And you do it b'toch neder. I do this. I'm serious about this. And now you come to a point in your life where you don't want to do it anymore, and you want to go to the chacham and tell the chacham, I'm not the neder. You can do it. It'll work. But it's not looked. You're not going to get they're not going to upgrade you from shishi to shlishi or shlishi to shishi, depending on which way you want to go, for being mater neder. For being mater neder on, and we upgrade you from revi to shlishi. They're not going to do that for being mater neder on a mitzvah. So you don't want to get yourself into this type of situation. That's why all the poskim strongly advise, but in all of these swarm of maaser kesafim, when a person does give maaser kesafim and he gives it in a way that's muhudur, he should make a tenai and say this act of giving ma'aser kesafim should not constitute a neder. Because I don't know, in the future I'll be able to practice, to do the mitzvah, ma'aser kesafim, with such a high standard. I might make use of a whole long laundry list of leniencies in the laws of Ma'aser Ksavim, which you're entitled to, because whoever said Ma'aser Ksavim is a mitzvah deraisa. Maybe it's only a minute, and when it's a minute, you have a right to be lenient. Okay, so that is something very important to keep in mind, the inyan making a tanai. Three different categories, deraisa, derabanan, minog, and making a tanai. Another very big issue in the laws of tzedakah are, is it better to give a lot of small donations or to give one large donation? If you're a multimillionaire, an organization comes to you, you can single-handedly fund an organization, or you can give an organization a lot of money, you can support one person, he'll be supported a whole year. Is that kedai, or is it better to give small donations to multiple people? That way you'll be giving a lot. So this is a very big debate among the poskim, and there's no clear answer. It all depends on the situation, something which cannot be generalized. And also it comes from Yaakov. One of the sources they cite is this week's parasha. Yaakov Avinu says, "V'chol asher titen li aser asrenu." Why does it say b'loshen rabim? Why does it repeat it twice? I mean, it's indicating that it's good to give ma'aser. If you are going to give ma'aser 20%, it's good to give it in two shots. To give 10% and 10%. That way you're giving, you go through the act of giving tzedakah. Every time you go through this act of giving tzedakah, it makes a roshim on you. It has an effect on your neshama. Oh, I'm a giver, I'm a giver, I'm a giver, I'm not a taker. And therefore, it's a milah to give. On the other hand, on the receiving end, it might not be such a milah for the recipients if they're only getting a small donation. It might be very better, you'll get more bang for your buck if you'll give one larger donation. So it varies. There are different opinions, different situations. Will the poor person get what he needs from someone else? Will he not get it? Are you the only source of support? Many variables. But the point is, it is a very big topic of discussion. When everything else is equal, is it better to give a large donation once or to give many small donations? Okay, now one thing I want to conclude, a nice little story. I told this to you once on a Friday. I want to repeat it because it really is a beautiful story, and maybe someone here didn't hear it. It was once the name, this is a true story, and I don't know the names. I don't know the names, but I think I know where I saw it, but I don't know the names of the people. There was once a very holy Rebbe. Could be it was the Satmar Rebbe, could be one of the famous Rebbes, probably from our generation, the previous generation, or maybe a few generations before, whatever it was. And he had a chassid, and the Rebbe had a tzara. Okay, not the chassid. The Rebbe had a tzara, and the chassid went at great lengths, great effort, and serious nefesh, to bring a Yeshua to the Rebbe, to do something that the Rebbe needed. He needed help, and the Rebbe, he helped the Rebbe at a great expense and effort and toil, and he came through for the Rebbe. The Rebbe was extremely grateful to this chassid. And he said to him, "You've done me a tremendous chassid, I want to reward you. And I'll be mispalo for, and give you a choice, one of two things. Either in the next world, I guarantee you, imi b'mechitzasi." What does that mean? You'll be with me. You'll be with me in the next world. You'll sit by me in the next world. What does that mean? I don't know what that means. Listen, I'm just telling you the story. It's when we get to the end of the story, it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant for the purpose, the idea that it expresses. But whatever that means, okay, you're going to be with me in Olam Haba. You'll be with me, or it's choice two. Choice two. You'll be blessed in this world. In the next world, what will be, will be. I don't know what's going to be with you. Whatever will be. But in this world, you will merit to be extremely wealthy. Ashirus. Very wealthy. Unusual wealth. What do you want? Think about it. He comes back and he tells him, "I want the money." "I want the money in this world." His family and his friends were shocked. Because this was a very, this was a very holy person. Probably wasn't a young person either. He was shocked. People were like, "What? Why?" Could be the Rebbe. I don't remember the details. Maybe the Rebbe was also shocked. So they said to him, someone at one point said to him, "Why did you choose the money, not the imi b'michitzasi?" So he said, "It's very simple. If I take imi b'michitzasi, who's going to benefit? Me. I'm going to have incredible time. My Olam Haba is going to be Noda V'Oyim. If I'll take the money, what will I do with the money? I need the money. I don't need the money. I'm already retired, I already have everything, I read enough for the rest of my life. What am I going to do with the money? I'll be mahana many people. Therefore, I'm taking the bracha not for me, but to be mahana other people. And certainly, that's a sacrifice that's worth making. To be mesameach, to support, to be mefarnes, to be mative with others is better than imi b'mechitzase. It's a beautiful story. Powerful, powerful lesson in the laws of staka, how the koyach of giving staka. Okay. Maybe let's just start just a little bit. Are we going to have minch afterwards? Otherwise,
yes.
we have minyan?
Yes.
Okay, so let's just maybe, because I don't have the material, so let me just start a little bit of Hilchos Challah. Okay, Isa mechameshas minei dagon chayeves mechana. By the way, before we begin this, I want to let you know that there's a new sefer that came out, the shul actually has it, The Aura of Shabbos. There is a very great Talmud Chacham, Simcha Bunim Kohn, and he wrote many svarim for Art Scroll, maybe with other stuff, other publishers. What? I don't know, I wouldn't say that. On the footnote, it's Machne. On the top, he's pretty makel. A lot of things is. I don't think he's a machmir. I really don't think he's a machmir. There is some shocking coolness in his. Ermil's grandson on the top, on the printed version, the format of his psalm is out of this world. They have, the footnotes are gems, and the top, very simple, short, clear halacha, and Ruba de Ruba is pretty makel, and on the footnotes. He brings down all the sources where almost every source is machmir, but he finds the kulos. That's why I wrote Bifrim. I wrote to be makel, because you can be makel. But he wrote a number of svarim for Art Scroll, Hilcha Shabbos, I think a couple of volumes, Children Halacha, Children and the Kashrus, and he just published about a few weeks ago the last book in the series for the Laws of Shabbos called The Aura of Shabbos. It's a collection of things which don't fit into his other svarim, and one of the chapters, 20 pages, is the laws of chal. It's superb. It's short and sweet, goes through everything you can possibly want to know about, or we're going to learn now in Kitz Shulchan Aruch, in the modern day and age, the laws of chal. Okay, so just as a marim mokah, if anyone who wants to study these things further. Isa mechamesha esmine dogan chayeves bechala. Dough. That only dough that comes from the five different forms of dogon, eschayv and challah, which is wheat, barley, oats, spelt, and rye. Did I leave one out? Wheat, barley, oats, spelt, and rye. That's five meaning, right? That's not so posh, by the way. Those are the five meaning, but that's sugi and sath psachim. Not for now. Chayaves bechala. Koidim shemafrish and achala, mevorachim boruchat Hashem lochinim el chaylam asher kibishanu, the mitzvaysa, vetsivanu lahafrish challah. And notice he says here a lot of chidushim. Number one, he does not say chala min ho isa. Okay, so many have a custom to say chala min ho isa. First of all, who says you have to separate the chala from the dough? If you want, you can separate chala even from the baked product. Let's say you don't separate chala. Let's say you bake chalas. I don't know how many of you here, anyone here's wives bake chalas?
So
your daughters are also assuming they separate, but you can also separate it after it's baked. After the challahs are baked, you have to follow the certain rules that if you're going to make the bracha, you forget or you do it afterwards, you of course then do not say challah min ho isa. You only say those two additional words. If you have a cost, say those two additional words. If it's dough, not when it is, not when it
is. Oh,
they do it after it's baked. So why? How can they do it after it's baked?
You don't want to waste time.
That's why?
Most probably. Why do you do it from the Issa? Because it's easier to take challah from the dough than to take when it's
the bread. That's the tackle that they
do. A lot of it is practice.
That's why they do it. I'm aware. Okay. So then, but the more complicated halachas than taking the challah, you get the complications. Because you have a batter of dough, so you just take off the dough. When you have loaves of bread, you have to collect them into a box, and you have a lot of matzahs.
That's what we do. We take the matzahs, we cover all the matzahs.
Oh, they cover it. So covering is a shikol kula. To cover it, because it should be in the kli. Okay, it's the halacha, it's acceptable.
The paper goes underneath and continues over.
Those are all the cool. Okay, paper you have. All right. There are different ways of doing it. All right, obviously matzah, there are different chumas. But one thing is, so first of all, you can, if you want, separate like by matzah when you're finished. Then you're not going to say Middle East, then you're going to say, then you're just going to say, I'll have a shchal. The nether chiddush, he says over here, is that you make the bracha first. That's not acceptable according to all cultures. Yes, your daughters, daughter-in-laws, and your wives, what they do, some first separate the challah, and then they make the bracha. They separate them. When do you make the bracha? You make the bracha over last siyasan, or so here the kitzur just says, as a matter of fact, you koydim shemafrishin mevarchim. You first make the bracha. And then v'neilim kezayis minu isa, a kezayis minu isa, which is a kezayis, at least 1 fluid ounce. Okay, kezayis, what's a kezayis? A person has to eat on Yom Kippur. Person has to eat on Yom Kippur, so you eat. Kezayis. That Yom Kippur is a satisfaction, right? But it's approximately a kazayis is approximately the amount of food that you can fit in a schnapps cup.
Didn't they use as a measurement in the cheekful?
A cheekful, that's liquids. That's liquids. Malay lugma. But for the amount of solid food that you can stick into an 1 ounce cup, which is typically the size of a schnapps cup, is equivalent in halacha to what we consider to be a kezayis. So you should take off at least that amount of dough. But the other kezayis, like you said, is surfing those subways, you burn in fire. The minig is to burn it in the oven where you are going to bake the bread, and it should be done immediately. Halacha lemaisa, so people are makbid not to put, you wrap it up in silver paper, in aluminum foil. You wrap up the dough in aluminum foil. Now it's very important, halacha. The challah is like tarfos, because if the challah gets mixed with other foods, all the foods are not kosher. You're not allowed to eat chal. Chal is supposed to be given to the kohen. It's off limits. It's tevel. It's even worse, so to speak, than eating chazer. If you eat chazer, what are you over on? Aloy sase. If you eat tevel, what are you over on? Misa de shanayim. So it's really serious business. Chalah that's supposed to go to the kohen. It's serious stuff. What do? You burn it. How do you burn it? It's not kosher. If it gets mixed into your other food, you leave it lying around, and a little piece gets mixed into your chalent, gets mixed into your roast, whatever it is, so you're in a lot of trouble. You have a shalav taruvus. You need to have 100 times. It's worse than bas b'chalav. Bas b'chalav, you'll need to have 60 times to mevatel the other. When it comes to challah, you need 100 times to mevatel the challah. So it's serious business. Therefore, many have the custom when they burn it, they don't even put it on the rack. They take the challah, they wrap it in the aluminum foil, and it should be completely closed, so there shouldn't be any zeya, any moisture that comes out, and they burn it in the oven on the floor of the oven, not even on the rack, because you don't want it to touch, because since the rack, technically it's okay.
Some people keep it together until they have a whole amount, so they can burn it all by itself.
How long they keep it for?
Because make a difference. They throw it, it gets hard and everything. But
it's not to keep it. That's what it's about. You're not to keep it for a long period of time.
Week to week.
You're not to keep it. He brings down Simcha Bunim Kol. He brings down that. You're supposed to get rid of it as soon as possible. It's not a good idea to keep it around for a long time. You don't have a shear. You say you don't have a shear. What?
Why not keep it for a long time?
Because we don't have Koyim Yuchasim. Good grief. No, we don't have Koyim Yuchasim. We don't lose a Koyim.
But we only do other mitzvahs with Koyim. Pidgin Aben.
We have no choice because the child has to be redeemed. So we separate the challah, but the kohen can't eat it.
I think they do in Eretz Yisrael. What they do is, I know they do trumps. They give the zoo animals are owned by a kohen.
Yeah,
and they give all the trumas to the kohen's animals to eat.
Really?
Yeah, they have loads. You have factories that give truma. They have loads of loads. Can have tons of.
Yeah.
So what do they do? Latasha's also.
Get a cat.
So the zoo, nominally, the kind
dogs
of
dogs are
here. Yeah.
And the kind of animals is a lot of truma.
But who says he's a coin?
You have
Kohanim
that grows.
There's
certain Kohanim that you know.
Must be other issues. Very interesting. Okay, very interesting. Okay, but this is he has to go to Kohanim. So what do? You burn. You burn the aluminum foil and you let it burn. Okay, before we go for one very important point is, let's clarify one important point is challah b'zman hazeh d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. So one thing is very important. Chutz li'aretz, there's no question about l'choladeus challah in chutz li'aretz is only midrabbanan. There's no challah areishes arisa sechem. It's only, I don't remember the whole passage, but it's only when you come into Eretz Yisrael be'artzechem. It is the Arzachem. It has to be only in Chutzos. We give challah only in Midrabban. That's number one, and that's not a lot of nafkaminas. When different shilas in halacha, you have a suffix Midrabban lekula. In Eretz Yisrael, is it deraisa derabanan? It's machlekes apayiskim. Some say that it's deraisa, and some say it's derabanan because only chayv when the majority of Klal Yisrael are living in Eretz Yisrael. If the majority of Klal Yisrael are living in Eretz Yisrael, then chala is deraisa. Now, what about today in the year secular year 2013, closing in on 2014? Where are the majority of Jews living today? It's a tough question. How do you calculate the majority of Jews? Religious Jews? Irreligious Jews? It's a tough question. If you want to go calculate anyone is even irreligious, so I don't know if you're gonna have a majority yet, but it's getting pretty close. They have the census every so often. It's not yet, the numbers are not there yet. But they're getting close. So when that will happen,
in Zman HaMikdash, you had a lot of people who were not religious.
Exactly. You didn't have the majority. In Zman Bayisheni, you didn't have. So Nechnam, so the same shal wasn't deraisa. According to many poskim, even Zman Bayisheni, it was not deraisa. You don't have the majority of Klal Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael.
So when Ezra came back and he was...
He only was able to get a few people. It was only teeny fraction.
The Kedusha was not Kedusha
Samokah. It was Kedusha Samokah, but it wasn't the Kedusha for the laws of Shuvah Samayisras.
And for Shemitahs.
And Shemitahs, yeah, it was Derabbanan.
So
I mean, that.
They were making Shemitahs.
I don't know the issue. There's a lot of different factors. Could be Shemitahs different. I don't know the answer. But when it comes to Chala, all I know I've seen is Machlokes HaPoskim, that some say yes, Bizman Hazeh it's Derayis, it does not depend on the numbers. Some say no, Bizman Hazeh, even in Eretz Yisrael, it's only Midrabbanan because you need the majority of Klal Yisrael living there for it to be Derayis. But certainly, L'chol Hadeos, in Chutz Liyaretz, Hafroshas Chala is Rabbanan, which is very convenient for us because it allows us to come on to many leniencies in halacha. Okay, there's a lot more to do. We'll stop here. We'll pick this up tomorrow. Take a little break.